One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Redmen TV. Yes, it's the match preview show. I'm Steve Hoare, delighted to be joined by Sam Walker and Abby Rudkin to have a little chat about Liverpool versus Burnley. Anfield, 3 o'clock. It's been a long time since we had one of those. I think it's like August since Liverpool last year. I might be wrong. I'm pretty sure when I did a little bit of brief research. Yeah, that's what we've got going on. I'll start with you. Yeah, Liverpool, we'll talk through the team, obviously, just what everyone knows before we do. We're recording this at like 10:30 in the morning. Jürgen hasn't had his press conference yet, but we've got a rough idea of who is and isn't available. The easy thing to say, and Sam just said it before we got off air, is whoever is or isn't available, Liverpool just need to be beaten barely. You can lose to Arsenal away and you can kind of accept that. You have to be barely at home. It is just that simple.
It's probably a good game for us to be going into after a loss like that, to be honest, especially having a little bit of a break to sort of recoup after that, to be honest. If I could pick any team for us to play against, it was obviously going to be Sheffield United or Burnley, you know what I mean? Especially based on form. And I just feel like it's a good one for us to get a couple of goals, you know, hopefully maybe get a clean sheet, but then you find out like Gomez is ill and stuff like that, and obviously Konate is suspended, so you've just sort of got to go with the flow and see how that goes. But it's a good one, and it's Anfield, and it's 3 o'clock, and everyone should be in good spirits. The ground should be back to its best. You know, obviously the Klopp news has sort of brought Anfield back to life a little bit. We're all trying to get behind the team as best as we can. I mean, the thing with the Arsenal game was I was sort of expecting us to batter them, because I had this amazing plan of how the season was going to end in my head. The moment Klopp said he was going, I thought, right, we're going to create something amazing, and we still can. It's just a little speed bump like that, but we've got it out of the way now, and I wouldn't put it past this team to just take that as the loss and then go on and even win the rest of them. You never know.
Absolutely, you never know. And we'll talk about Liverpool in a moment, Sam. On Burnley, they haven't won a Premier League game since December 23rd. They beat Fulham. Liverpool have actually beaten them in that time. Just obviously Boxing Day, Liverpool beat them. They've been on a bit of a poor run. They've had a couple of draws recently, but they aren't the Burnley of old, the Vincent Company's Burnley. They still want to play. They still want to come out. Abby's half right, really. Well, Abby's fully right. Home against Burnley it doesn't matter who's fit and available. That's the game. Especially when you've got a couple of injuries or absentees or whatever, that's the game you probably want. But Liverpool still have to take it seriously, because like I say, anything less than 3 points really is, is a massive blow in the title race, because these are points that you just bank on. These are absolute bankers, and therefore you've got to go and bank them.
Yeah, and I think from Burnley's perspective, realistically, they're looking at this game thinking we just need to get through it. But I don't think realistically Company, he'll have his game plan, he'll have his talk, but in the back of their minds and their planning with their coaches, they're not going to look at this game going, right, we're going to go toe-to-toe with Liverpool, we're going to win that game, we're going to get 2 points, or sorry, 1 point or 3 points there. They're going to be thinking, how do we get out of this with as little damage as possible? Just another addition to that, you're talking about the Klopp thing. Obviously, it's the first time Anfield's going to be over 60,000 capacity. I don't know if that's, I think it's going to be a record for the club, isn't it, in terms of capacity on Saturday, so that's massive for us as well. Something to look forward to see the whole stadium full, no empty red seats. But yeah, I think for Burnley, they're just not good enough across the pitch. I think the strikers aren't good enough, the midfield's not strong enough, the defence isn't big or strong or good enough, the goalkeeper's alright but he's small, he's nowhere near as powerful as other goalkeepers in the league. I think tactically they're not quite as good as everybody else. They're just a little bit short across the park, and they will pick up wins and points here and there, but this is a game you look at and you think, you're looking at someone like Darwin Nunez and saying, this is your time to fill your boots, and if there's ever a time, it's at home to Burnley, and so on.
I suppose the one thing they are, Abs, is the game. You know what I mean? Like the other day, they were getting beat 2-0 at home. They were 2-0 down in 20 minutes, and in the end, they come back and draw. Which is just, so it shows like sometimes you get teams down the bottom of the league and they're not playing for the manager. They're throwing it in. They're just waiting for Sam Allardyce or Neil Warnock to come and have 10 games at the end of the season. Saying, you don't get that with Burnley. They are behind the manager still. He's the one who brought them up. He bought a lot of these players. He got them playing. That is one thing they are. They're not. They haven't thrown the towel in on this relegation battle or anything. They are still playing for Vincent Kompany. So it isn't going to be a straightforward as they come over and roll over. No matter what, they're going to give us a game. So Liverpool do have to be wary of that.
Yeah, we can't really let our guard down in the game at any point, to be fair. I mean, I know it sounds like an easy game, but we can't get into like the last half an hour of the game and decide to just, you know, give up a little bit, because we have seen that in a few games this season where we've been able to just go down a gear and sort of have a bit more of a relax. And I don't feel like we will be able to do that throughout this game, but we might be able to just go at 60% of our full capacity of being able to play, and we'd still be able to beat them, to be honest. I can't really see us being in a situation where, I mean, if we go a goal down, which we've seen us do over the last year quite a lot, I mean, but I still can't see them coming to Anfield and being able to nick a draw or anything. Anything but a win for us is embarrassing. It's not good. And that'd look to me as if we were going in the opposite effect of what's happened with Klopp. Mm-hmm. It'd say to me, right, well, this has deflated the team. But you can't ignore, like, decimated with injuries that we've had over the season, and we're still sitting top of the Premier League as it stands. I mean, this is probably the first weekend maybe where we're rooting for Everton, and Everton might be rooting for us.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
We can hope to be a bit of Merseyside fans across the park. I mean, yeah, we'll talk about
the purples.
We'll talk about that later. I hold no hope for that. I suppose, Sam, as well, the game, and it wasn't that long ago, so you can't take relevance to it when we beat them on Boxing Day. It was 2-0. Mm-hmm. It could have been more. There was a couple of dodgy offsides or very
fouls, yeah.
But it did take Liverpool until the 90th minute to properly wrap that one up.
Yeah.
Which does show, I think, when you play a team quite quickly in succession, you can learn a few things. So
yeah.
I do wonder if Liverpool have learned any lessons from that game, because I actually thought Liverpool were quite good and quite comfortable, but they didn't quite put the game but came to bed. So it's something that, like Abby said there, especially when you've got players, you probably haven't got as strong a bench as you're used to having. Liverpool didn't have a great bench in that game either. It is where it's quite important that you don't have to rely on that. You do want to get this done as quickly as possible, really.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the big difference in this game is obviously we didn't go 2-0 up, which did make that game more difficult than it should have been. And you talk about the Fulham game at the weekend, the difference being that was at Burnley.
Yeah.
When they're at Anfield in front of a record crowd in Klopp's last run, like, we've just got beat by Arsenal. You know, I've been listening to the players this week. Curtis has done something with BBC. Trent done something with CNN, and they're so buoyant. Not in too much of a disrespectful way, but they're just, you can see it in their eyes what they want to achieve, and this is just an opportunity for them to go and all fill the boots and get 3 points and all put in a good performance, get goals, get assists, get a clean sheet. You can just feel it from the atmosphere when you see the interviews of the players and the manager. So I have no qualms that we'll be right up for this. But yeah, the big difference for me for Burnley is purely just when they're at home, they've got something that can lift them. You know, if they get a corner, the crowd gets up. If they, you know, have a shot tip round the post, or there's always that way of lifting, whereas it's more difficult to do that way from home against a big side. Even if they do get a corner, free kick, or even if they score, they still got to turn around and face, you know, 57,000-58,000 Liverpool fans, and Liverpool running at them with fire in the belly. So I'm not concerned at all in the approach in this, and like I said, I do think that Burnley are there for the taking.
Yeah, the away form has been they've got 3 wins all season, and I think one of those was away, and it was at Luton early on. So yeah, the away form has been poor. Right then, let's switch up. We'll talk about Liverpool. Like I say, we are recording this before the press conference, but what we're led to believe, we don't think Salah's quite ready yet. He's still in the gym, so we're probably looking at Brentford for him. Szoboszlai's out. We don't know how long for yet, but he's out. He hasn't trained as well. Joe Gomez didn't train yesterday at time recording. Reports that he was ill, so there's a good chance that he's probably missing or not available to start. Thiago's out again, unfortunately. Played 5 minutes and he's done. I think that might be his season, unfortunately, but that's where they're at. And as it stands, Conor Bradley's still away on compassionate leave.
Is he? Oh, right, okay.
Conor Bradley wasn't at training yesterday.
Right, okay.
So I think they're probably taking the time with him, maybe, I don't know. And then Ibu suspended. So there's a few absentees there. They do get Endo back. Japan obviously knocked out the Asia Cup, so Endo is back. So yeah, Liverpool have got a couple of selection headaches, but the good news is they're getting Robertson. Robertson is fit to start again. Trent's fit to start again. So it's going to be a different Liverpool team, and there are some absentees, but there's still enough there, you would think.
like you were saying before we started, it's like we're getting two in, two out. Literally, like an injury, two injuries will happen and then two more will come back in. We're at a good time with Trent and Robertson coming back in, when especially if Gomez is ill, you know, and what's happened with Conor Bradley, of course, like, take all the time that you need. I wasn't expecting him to come back in for this game anyway, to be honest. I think he's absolutely brilliant, and when he does come back in, I think he has got a big role to play, and I think maybe then that will be a time when we do push Trent forward in those games, and I honestly think we'd be doing that sooner if we could now, if we did have Bradley available. But we've just got to make do with what we've got at the minute. Obviously, I was so excited about Thiago being back, and if he was still fit, maybe you would start him for a game like this. But I just can't believe that it's come to this, where we've waited that long. When it was like, what, April last year, where the last time he played for us, and we're all excited. And obviously, he comes on, he doesn't do much against Arsenal, really. But I didn't even realise that he'd picked up an injury or anything in that game. And then now they're saying that it's hamstring and he might have played his last game for Liverpool, apparently, which was what I was reading this morning. So you're looking at the selection that we've got available. I don't know what's going on with Szoboszlai. I don't know what's going on there, because you're hearing reports from Hungary saying, like, oh no, he's fine. Then another one saying 3 to 4 weeks. So we're just in a little bit of a no man's land.
He definitely
land
didn't
say
this. He's not going to play the weekend.
He's definitely not playing.
From
the
what Klopp said after the game, is he just felt something. Now, obviously, that can be felt sort of on scan. But usually, when it's felt something in training, it's never usually like 6 weeks. It's not like he's running a game and he pulled up like De Bruyne did against Burnley, and you thought, oh, that's not that great. That mate, even Thiago, like, he came off the pitch, walked off. Like, how can he be out for the season? Like, there's like 20 odd games left, hopefully.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It is.
What I didn't mention Timokas, by the way, he trained. So, if you're worried about left back, you might be able to start Robbo, get Kostas on. If that's a worry, because he was in training yesterday as well with the team. So,
more than likely, you're going to see Robbo playing, but it is good to have that sort of backup now if Gomez isn't there. The best we've seen Gomez play this season is at left back, probably, in my opinion. Yeah, but if he was fit, well, not ill, you could have even started him at centre back now. Konate's out, which we'll probably see Quanta there now. So, you'll probably see Trent. I mean, I know we're going to come onto the team. Don't want to go ahead and rush ahead, but you probably will see Quanta and Van Dijk in those positions now, because we're running out of options there. So we're still obviously going to start a good side. Like, the bench might just look a little bit poorer than usual. That's the only thing, but we're going to start a full strength side that looks better than what Burnley have got available. We're still waiting for Mo Salah's news, but any team without Mo Salah in is going to be a weaker team, isn't it? Yeah. So you just got to see who we play down that right side. It'll probably be Diaz, in my opinion.
But just not Gakpo.
No. Definitely not Gakpo.
That was bizarre. Just on the Gomez thing, with him being sick yesterday, you know, when you, depending on how rough he is, but when you're usually poorly, you usually kind of peak and then start to come down, don't you? So if he was completely off yesterday, you've got all day today and until 12 o'clock tomorrow. So you know what? If he's fit enough to just be on the bench as a right back / centre back,
you probably need them, because without
you haven't got a left back.
You haven't got a centre back.
You haven't got
a centre back option, because I'm with Abby. So if we're picking a team between us, then we're half there. So Alisson will be in goal, obviously. Robbo and Trent at full back, Van Dijk and Quanta, it looks like. And you would just hope that Gomez is fit enough to be on the bench. Otherwise, Liverpool are going to have to bring a young lad probably up to be on the centre back. Unless, of course, Endo can do that job as well. So any is available. Do you think he starts? Because there's an option here, Sam, to go.
No.
There's an option to go Endo DM and move McAllister into eight. A lot of people on social media, when I was speaking, doing a bit of research this morning, were mentioning that that's a possible option. I mean, I'm not sure if he'll do it now, but it is there for if he wants to use it.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because I think someone else in the squad actually deserves a start more at the moment, just because he's been away. I'll come to it in a minute. I actually thought we might see Trent in midfield before I found out Bradley was still off. I didn't know he was still off. I knew he wouldn't be there last weekend, rightly so, but I didn't know he was still on compassionate leave.
He wasn't there yesterday. He's still on compassionate leave.
Then he's not going to be in the squad, is he? But I thought he might come back and start with Trent maybe playing in the right eight or even in the six, and him and McAllister could be quite fluid. So that'd be quite interesting to see. But now we know that's not a possibility. I think, as you said, the back five picks itself. I actually thought Quanta would play anyway, just over Gomez, because I just thought he's been that centre back, hasn't he?
He played in the last game.
He's been that guy who comes in centre back. So that's that. I think the reason why I don't think Endo starts, in my opinion, is only because I think it's been unfortunate to Elliot, because I think what's happened is everyone's thought he was the alternative to Szoboszlai, and then when Szoboszlai's been out, it hasn't been Elliot. He's been either stuck out wide, or it's been Gravenberch, like it was the weekend. And I actually think that I actually think that's harsh on Hart, because I think there's been periods of this season where there was an argument to actually deserve maybe Pip Soberslay for the shirt and make him fight it back for it back. Played really well against Burnley last game, should have got a goal as well.
Yeah.
I actually think he deserves an opportunity to play in that right tape, especially against Burnley. Maybe not Brentford because of the physical side, but Burnley are a team where he can get on the ball and make things happen.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
He would be in my team 100%. My midfield would be McAllister, Jones, Elliott.
Yeah,
is what I would do. I think that's what Jürgen's going to do, Abby, as well. I like Ryan Gravenberch, but he's in a bit of bad form, and it looks like his best position is on the left of a three.
Yeah,
I think on that right hand side, I thought it was really harsh the other day on Elliott. I didn't play again. It might be what Sam said, where maybe it was a height thing. Arsenal are a big team. This feels like the perfect game for Harvey Elliott to start.
Yeah, it probably is a good game for Elliott to start, to be honest with you. I was sort of thinking that he'd play there and maybe we would still start Endo and then push McAllister a little bit more, give him more license to move forward in this game. It's not like Endo hasn't had game time. He's been playing abroad. So, and he's been absolutely brilliant for us. And I just feel like that would suit McAllister a little bit better. Not that he's been playing badly in that position recently, as a whole. I think we were all slagging him off at first about it, but now he's started to improve. But I think now you can say, right, you've done your job, Endo's back, give him that opportunity. But I do like what you're saying about Jones and Elliott in that position. Gravenberch, he's getting dispossessed. He just looks uncomfortable on the ball a lot of the time when he's moving forward.
It's ironic, actually, because this is probably the game that would suit him, though.
Yeah.
I don't think the Arsenal game was ever... He's really good in tight spaces when you've got the ball, and that's what you might get against Burnley. But Liverpool didn't really have the ball against Arsenal.
I think
he's not great defensively.
Sometimes he looks like he's overthinking what he's going to do with the ball next. Like, he hasn't got that sort of silky smoothness about his game. It looks like he's trying to think of where I'm going to put this, and then he takes too long with it at times. I do know what you mean. Like, he can get away with the ball sometimes in difficult positions, but maybe this is the right game for him because it is Burnley. You know, we've got like tough games coming forward after that one, so maybe this is a game where you do give him that game time. But maybe you are right, maybe we will see McAllister, Jones and Elliott. I think it's probably a good game to finally give Elliott a little bit more game time where he wants to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go from three then. We know who's going to be. It's just the order you go in, because there's no Salah still, obviously.
I don't think Gakpo started that. The fact that he was lashed out on the right last game, I don't think he was very good. And I think that didn't help Gravenberch as well. But
it looks like it's going to be Diaz, Nunes and Jota.
Yeah, absolutely, I think
it just depends how you do it. I suppose Jota... Jota's been good on the right. Jota played on the right at Bournemouth and was really good as well. So I'm guessing we're all going to say Darwin plays up front.
Has to for me, yeah.
Diaz left, Jota right.
I think you can do it anyway, really, but I think that's probably the best way for them to play.
The least disruption.
Yeah.
So Diaz is the best fit for left. For me, Darwin's the best fit for up top. And then Jota, who can play anyway but on the right. Whereas if you start putting Jota left, is he better up front? I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, so you end up with like, or if you put Nunes left and Jota up front, you might be playing two players a little bit out of position.
There's movement there between Jota and Nunes anyway.
I'm excited to see Trent trying to find Nunes again.
Yeah, please.
We could probably do it a little bit. That depends how Burnley play. If they sit deep, then that probably plays into Jota's hands. It's a Jota game. If they try and push up, then it becomes a Darwin game. You are right on Gakpo. I feel a bit harsh on him because He's another one, not so much like Gravenberch, because Gravenberch has struggled a bit, but Gakpo keeps getting moved, and it must be hard for him to go, I play midfield, then I play left, then I play up front, then I play right. How do you get that rhythm? But unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast. He's got to earn the place, and he'll be a good sub to come on, and he'll definitely get on the pitch at some point, Sam, but it does feel like he's like the... If everyone's fit, it feels like he's probably number five at the moment. He just hasn't quite nailed that place down yet.
No, absolutely. And I think last year he was probably the guy who we wanted to place in the forward position, the number nine, or whatever you want to call it, because he played it really well. He got goals. He was strong. He was making things happen. Remember a great goal against West Ham, a couple against United. Yeah. He was scoring tap-ins, decent long-range shots, good finishes. And he's got that. You can see he's a quality player. I feel sorry for him because, like, I'd love for Pep Linders and Klopp to explain to us why he played on the right. Like, why was that the combination? You played him in the way. There was too many people out of position.
It was just
a bizarre... There must have been some really weird connotation they thought was going to happen. It just didn't happen. Like, within 5 minutes, he should have been swapped with Jota straight away, but we didn't do that. And I do feel sorry for him because how is he supposed to get in the side if he's getting lashed out on the right with a lad who doesn't play every game on the right midfield and then Trent come back from injury against Arsenal who have to win? I just feel sorry for him. So he's going to miss out probably in this game, probably... And unless he goes all to attack and we're all wrong and he puts him in midfield again. But I do feel for him because he hasn't had that opportunity to have... you're going to play the next three games in between the wingers, or you're going to play the next three games off the left so we can get that rhythm which they keep talking about. But this is football. This is what happens. One season you can be the main man. Next season you can be on the bench and so on and so forth. You know, are we going to get a new manager next year? That could mean he becomes the absolute pivotal part of our front line. We just don't know. So he's just got to roll with the punches and get on and get a goal and go from there.
Yeah, I completely agree with that one. We'll talk about the connotations of the game later on the table. In fact, let's do the table now. So as it stands, of course, Liverpool are top, Manchester City second, just 2 points behind them, and of course with that game in hand, which is against Brentford, who they just beat recently as well. Arsenal then in third on 49 points, Aston Villa fourth on 46 points, and Spurs fifth on 44 points. Then there's a little bit of a gap then to United, West Ham, etc. Flipping over to the fixtures in a second. It's interesting, Abby, because we kind of touched it up on it before with the Everton thing and the City. There is actually there's a very good chance that Man City are actually above Liverpool by the time this kicks off, because I mean Everton just roll over and get the bellies tickled by Manchester. That's what's always happened when these teams have played each other. It's at the Etihad as well. It's half 12 kickoff. That's a bit of a psychological thing for Liverpool to deal with, isn't it? That it's for the first time in a while now they're not going to be top.
I hate it when we're in this position and we've been here before. Like, this feeling so familiar to all of us, isn't it? Yeah. Literally, like, I thought maybe Brentford would manage to nick something against them the other day, and they never. Exactly. And when they scored, I thought to myself, here we go, you know. Like, maybe they've seen us drop points and they haven't been able to, like, but no, that's obviously not what happened.
Ivan Toney scores that volley at 2-1, and it's a different
it's
game.
Different, totally. Exactly. And we've had seasons like this before where they've been the defining moment for us. And I'm just hoping it doesn't go the way we know the story goes. So obviously I'm rooting for Everton this weekend, but I can't see them doing anything for us. And then what mindset does that put our team in when we could be second by the time that comes around? I can't see Everton doing us a favour, and I honestly don't think half their fans want to do us a favour, to be honest.
I think the difference this year is the relegation battle. Everton are in the relegation zone at the moment, and they've played a game more than Luton, who were above them. So in years gone by, when it's been the Everton-Manchester City title play challenge together, it is a different kettle of fish now, isn't it, Sam? Because Luton have gone on such a good run recently. They've a win and two draws in the last three games, which for a team down the bottom of the league, and especially, you know, one of those draws was away at Newcastle, which is a game they probably wouldn't have expected to get anything from. It is putting a little bit more pressure on Everton to get something. We're playing Burnley, who are just below them. There's a chance that if Everton can get something and Liverpool beat Burnley, which everyone expects, Everton could be 7, 8, 9 points clear of Burnley, and that's a huge carry for them. It's just, it does feel like the City machine is just starting to clip back into gear at the moment.
Oh, well, result-wise it is, definitely. Performance-wise, it's not. I've never seen their back line get legged. I mean, Brentford created 3, 4, 5 chances at 2-1. Usually City just control games.
You haven't kept many clean sheets after City.
Well, I saw an amazing stat. I think Andy Beasley retweeted it. Someone else I've not seen before posted it. Like, they're on track for like 9 clean sheets this season. Nobody's ever won the league with less than like 15 clean sheets. Something like that anyway. It's like since Leicester, but the whole Premier League era, no one's won the league without X amount of clean sheets, and City are nowhere near it. So what that tells you is that they're a little bit like we have been at times this season. They're relying on their front line to basically win them games, and it will catch up with you at times. Do you know what I mean? Like, we didn't have a fantastic game against Arsenal, and the last goal didn't mean anything, but what that meant is we were losing 2-1 down to a mistake. We didn't create no chance. We had one shot on goal or something. When you have an off day, you can lose, especially against decent sides. I fully expect them to beat Everton just because Everton aren't the best side at the moment. Yeah. Sean Dyche isn't going to buy into this Everton, you know, we'll throw this game away neither. The fact that he's a Liverpool fan, but also the fact that he doesn't care about all that. He's there to do a job at Everton. I think a lot of their players are the same now as well. They're not. They haven't got the Colemans and the Baineses who are, you know, Everton till we die. I think they're literally focused on themselves. Look, stranger things have happened. Crystal Palace drew 2-2 from 2-0 down in 70 minutes, but it's a bit like our game against Burnley. Man City, we're looking at that going, we're much better than them. We will beat them. We've got more firepower to blow them away. I just don't see any other way in that game. But coming back to your original point, I actually think City will drop multiple points between now and the end of the season because they're getting legged at the back.
There's that tweet. It was Dave Comerford who said,
there you go.
In 20 Premier League seasons, they've had 38 games. No team has ever won the title with less than 12 clean sheets. Man City only have 5 in 22, which puts them on course for the most, maybe 9, given this rate. Of course, if they kept clean sheets in every single game between now and then, it'd be different.
Yeah.
But you are right, they are conceding goals, so it's worth mentioning. Everton, well, at least what they've got is a bit of resiliency. We saw that at the weekend. You know, they were done a couple of times, really, by and then the set piece has got them back into it. So that's something. Maybe if you're looking for a rival to drop points, West Ham hosting Arsenal. So Arsenal having to go to West Ham. Maybe I'll start with you. 2:00 on Sunday. There's a very good chance going again. Who knows? But there's a very good chance Liverpool and Manchester City have won because they should win the games that they're playing. Mm. West Ham away is no easy game for Arsenal on the back of what they've just been through. Arsenal, West Ham are 7th in the league. They win games. They've got goals in them as well. So that feels like another challenge for Arsenal. To be fair, they had 2 losses on consecutive. Then they won 3. That isn't an easy one for them, is it?
No, it's not an easy one, but they're going into it after you see what it meant to them beating us. Like, you know, they looked
West Ham beat
them,
by the way, less than 1
twice. I beat them twice. They knocked out the cup as well.
They knocked out the cup and beat them 2-0 at the end, but it's not that long, just before New Year, so it isn't an easy one for them.
Yeah, do you know what? I think they'll be in a good place mentally after that game against us, but I can see it being a tricky one for them, especially with, like, coming up against Bowen and players like that. They will be, you know, they might concede goals in that game, but I don't know, I can just still see Arsenal win. And I think if both of us win, if Man City and Liverpool win, then that puts them under the pressure again. And you know what? We've seen it with Arsenal the last couple of years where maybe they can't take the exact same amount of pressure that Liverpool and Man City can. They might not be able to match that. You know, there has been times where City have gone and win, like we'll probably need to do tomorrow, and then we'll match it and we'll win and be like, right, okay, you've showed me your cards, here's mine. Arsenal are the type who'll see that and then flap it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So there is a big possibility there that could happen, and I know they are in the title race, but I just don't feel as much a threat by Arsenal even after them beating us that I do with Man City. So I struggle to look at that game. If they do get beat, I'll be made up, don't get me wrong, but I can't explain to you how much more I'm hoping Man City get beat. You know,
absolutely, they're the weird ones, but like
it's the Declan Rice derby again, and it's all, this is the problem when you have a player like Declan Rice moving from between two London clubs, is it's West Ham will be for the rest of this season constantly trying to prove a point. You know, they probably wouldn't have begrudged him moving too much, but when they come and play him, you're getting it bad. You know, he's going to get challenges left in on him, he's going to get his name probably screaming and shouting in the stands, they're going to be a bit more lively. I'm not sure what time kickoff it is it early?
Two,
so it's not the worst. If it was 4:30, it might be a bit of darkness, lights on, but I still think West Ham at home off the back of getting beat 3-0 by United, and they did create chances. They were just, you know, couple of good counter attacks from United, bit of luck with deflection. I think West Ham will have a point to prove as well. Just please, West Ham, if you win, get the camera and take a photo. It'd be hilarious. Just get to take the camera off the cameraman and just rub it in the faces, because it's just that. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely right. Then, so that's the Premier League. There's a couple of other games that are interesting enough, I think, as well. If you look at both ends of the table, Luton, Sheffield United is massive. If Luton can win that one, that's even more pressure on
Everton,
because Luton have had a good little run recently.
Forest got, because they're probably going to start
Newcastle
falling below
home on Saturday afternoon.
Newcastle aren't in the best. Yeah, well, actually, if they won the last couple of games, Newcastle, am I right in saying that?
What did you do with Fulham? Luton?
Oh, did you with Luton? Yeah, but then they beat bleeding Villa before that, didn't they? Mad.
They just own Aston Villa this season. They beat them like 8-1 on aggregate or something mental like that. Tottenham Brighton could be a good game to watch as well. And then Aston Villa versus Man United Sunday, 4:30 is a good one. And then the Chelsea revival tour maybe continues. They go to Palace, which is...
The revival tour.
The two managers who are very much on hot seat at the moment, it feels like, Roy Hodgson and Mauricio Pochettino. That's Monday night footy as well.
Oh, mate, the best one's Villa United. That's a belter. I think Villa will snot them.
Yeah.
Villa at home.
That's what I mean.
As well. Listen, if Villa are only 3 points behind Arsenal, so they could have a chance.
Imagine Arsenal end up like fourth. Like they can't finish, be fifth, can they? But can you imagine after last week they dropped to like fourth? Oh my God, be glorious.
They'd have to get a bit of a pace then.
Is it like a 4-0, is it?
Yeah, there's six goals between
them. Oh, yeah, that can happen. 2-0, 4-0.
Yeah, easy. Oh, yeah, but there you go. And jobs are good. And you're away. You're flying. There we go then, right.
Just before you go, did you see what Robbie put up on Instagram yesterday?
I didn't, sorry.
It was a team of the week, right? This is why Arsenal fans deserve everything to get when it comes. It was a team of the week, but with Alisson and Van Dijk, but with Arsenal kits on. Like, they were playing for us. Like, what? Do you know what I mean? They just deserve it now. As soon as they get beat, everyone needs to just hammer them because they can't just take it for what it is.
Hashtag Bants from AFTV. Right then, that's all, sir. We've picked a Liverpool team. We've got a Burnley team. We've had a little look around the other fixtures as well. What's another massive Premier League weekend. They're all going to be absolutely massive from this point in. Liverpool have got 15 games left, starting with Burnley in the Premier League, to make themselves Premier League champions once again. Fingers crossed. Are they going to do it, Sam, this weekend? Scott, you're quite comfortable there with the win.
I think we'll win well. I think we're like 5-0 this weekend. I can see Nunes getting a couple of goals at least.
He could do with them, couldn't he?
Mm.
Yeah. How do you think it's going to go?
3-0. Go for a 3-0.
I said 3-0, so I think 3-0. Burnley might have bigger fish to fry down the line. They've conceded 47 goals in 23 games. Like,
we've got no game midweek. That's why I've gone hard, because I just think we won't stop.
Yeah, Liverpool haven't. Goal difference might be a thing, you know. It really might come down to it. So, yeah, it's the thing. Burnley have got a real tough run. They play us and then they host Arsenal next week. So, they're in a bit of a sticky situation, aren't they, at the moment, Burnley? But, yeah, thanks, Sam. Thanks, Abby. Thanks, all you guys, for watching or listening to this episode of the Match Preview. Do come and join us Saturday for the Watch Along. It'll be me and Errol live at 1:45. With the uncensored match build-up as Liverpool's team is announced, and then we'll be live again at 2:45 with the entire watch-along. If you sign up to redmenplus.com now, straight after the game, you'll have the instant match reaction with Dan and Errol, as well as the player rating show. So yeah, get yourselves involved over on redmenplus.com. Get ready for Wembley over the next couple of weeks. We've got loads and loads of amazing content going out there, including the next episode of the League Cup story. Yeah, we've done a 5-part series last time we got there. We've added a 6 because, yeah, we won it in 2022. So that'll be available on Redmen Plus in the next week or two as well. Thanks very much for watching and listening, and I'll see you all tomorrow. See you in a bit.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.